Here in northern Minnesota, the lakes are frozen and the ice is starting to boom. Thanksgiving is in the rearview mirror, and I put my last canoe away until spring. The landscape is going down for a seasonal nap, or so it seems. Below the ice on area lakes, there's a frenzy of fishy breeding activity, fish that you might not know even existed. And for the hunter-gatherers among us, another harvest is underway. It's the tulipy netting season. Also known as the northern cisco, this silver member of the salmon family generally weighs a bit less than a pound to several pounds when harvested. I followed my friend Pete Moberg of East Nary, Minnesota, as he set his first tulipy net of the season on Cass Lake. I asked him about how he got started netting fish.
I graduated from high school in 69 and started netting up here after I got out of the Army in 73. There's a picture here of this guy right there. It was my dad's good old buddy. He was one of his helpers. Dad was a veterinarian, and he would go out with him and help him test cattle. And he was a farmer, but he didn't like farming. And so he went to Alaska. And he worked on a boat as a cook. And then he helped build the first fish plant on the Aleutian chain at Dutch Harbor. And then he would come back. After a while, he retired, and he came back. And he says, well, let's go to the cabin and net some fish. Because I was kind of spinning my wheels after I got out of the service.
45 years later, on the cusp of winter, Pete still carries on the netting ritual. After many years and some tangled nets, Pete has adopted a meticulous set of habits for setting the 100-foot-long net.
And I don't know if we just started this ourselves or not, but it works good for playing out your line. Lightweight basswood fork, and then I'll take the one end of the net with my name on it. You have to label your nets. And I'll take about 2.5 feet or arm's length and slide it over to the one end of the fork stick. This monofilament, it looks like a prom dress by the time you're done. It just bellows out on the bottom.
I see a pair of hockey skates in the corner of the cabin, and the topic of skating on early winter ice comes up.
Every year I bring my skates because John Latimer is coaxing me to go out there and skate around, and sometimes I do it and sometimes I don't.
We would find 4 inches of clear ice on this day, though each year is different. Some years, Pete sets his net in open water, and the dangers of setting a net in cold water are real.
These nets just love buttons. They'll hang on for dear life and probably pull you underwater if you're in the bad spot.
Ever had a close call like that?
Yeah. Yeah. It was the night before Thanksgiving. I thought, well, I really didn't want to sit around all day on Thanksgiving with the relatives, so I was going to set the net. And the wind was really strong out of the west right on the lake, and I was out in this little 12-foot duck boat. I got out, and I dropped my one anchor end. The wind caught me in the bow of the boat and flipped me out. I was out much deeper than the 6 feet. And I went to the bottom, and I came back up, and I had these visions of like a comic book, you know, with big bubbles. Oh no, look what happened to me now. What am I going to do? But I was able to float up, the net hooked the front of the boat, and I worked my way from down the gunwale to the transom and took one big good push and jumped up and ended up laying right on the deck. Once I stabilized myself, I gingerly kind of went to the front, lifted the net off of the bow, and rowed back in. Luckily, the cabin was here, and it was 55 degrees, so I was just fine. I'm glad my wife decided to yell at me and tell me to wear a life jacket.
That's Pete Moberg, and we're talking tulipy fishing on Northern Community Radio. After the tales of near misses, Pete loaded his gear into the sled, and we headed down to the lake.
You You always seem to be the first one on the lake. In front of the reed bed seems to be a good spot. I think the tulabees come in and lay their eggs, you know, in that area. We're probably at a good spot to try to punch a hole.
He knows the lake well and quickly gets dialed into the right depth to set his net.
There'll be a lot of adjusting here, but and you can make a lot of sets, just leaving a lead line under the water, so you can move it from one to the other. Okay, I would say that's right where we want to be, 6 feet. Once we stretch our net, you know, our initial two end holes might be too far apart, so then we'll have to chop a little more and get them closer or farther away. So the end holes, I make them about a foot wide and maybe a couple feet long, just so that I can get the pole in and out and also the net in and out.
Pete works a long ricing pole under the ice to string a line the length of his net. That line then pulls the net into place underneath the ice.
I'm pushing it from hole to hole as we go from one end to the other of this 100-foot length. When you have 2 inches of ice, your hand only has to go in about 4. When you've got 4 inches of ice, you have to go 6 or 8. So when it gets thicker than that, then your whole arm is in there. And if you wear gloves, they would be wet inside too.
With 4 inches of ice, he must put his hand into the cold water up to his forearm to move the pole along to the next hole.
And that's all there is to it. I prefer to pull the net in the morning and then I just leave a lead line in all day. And then right before dark, I'll set it again, because the tulabees come in right before daybreak to lay their eggs. And the northerns come in right behind them. If you can pull those northerns out before they really get twisted in your net, you're way ahead, because you got to throw them back.
Like other seasonal pursuits, climate change has impacted the way tulabee netting happens now.
It seemed like when we first started in the 70s, you could almost depend on this lake freezing up right over Thanksgiving. And this, it seems, very early. But in the last few years, the new norm is the 10th of December, so we're doing open water more than we're doing under the ice.
The presence of tulabees in any lake system indicates good water quality. But Pete has seen firsthand other changes to the Cass Lake ecosystem as a result of invasive species.
It seems like the lake is changing really fast. There's getting to be less cabbage weed, everything else, probably due to the rusty crayfish and the zebra mussels. We'll even get one on a net. I think all the clams are gone. It seems like the bottom is more just mossy bottom. I guess we'll see what happens.
With the net set, we left and returned in the morning to check the catch. With a little work with the ice chisel, the poles holding the net were freed, and the net holding the catch of tulabees was slowly pulled and loaded into the cooler.
You can almost feel them in there. When there's no snow, you can count all your fish just by walking from one end of the net to the other. Well, it looks like we have a fish here, a tulabee, about a foot long. Like it might be a male. Once we get a little weight in here, another reason not to have snaps on your jacket. I lost count already. This is a good haul, yeah.
Back in the cabin, Pete pulls the fish from the net and counts his catch.
5, 6, 7. 43. Now that's quite a haul for one net. 20 to 30 is okay. I'm happy with that. 43, I'm really happy with that. These are nice fish.
For another year, Pete marks off another tulabee season. Just one of the rituals that keeps him connected to the place he calls home. For Northern Community Radio, I'm Jim Gallagher.